Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 14. My laryngitis is all gone. Praise God. I sound normal again. Okay, Exodus 14. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. You should camp in front of Baal Zephon, opposite it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say to the sons of Israel, 'They are wandering aimlessly in the land. The wilderness has shut them in.' Thus I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." And they did so. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart toward the people. They said, "What is this we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" So he made his chariot ready and took his people with him. And he took 600 select chariots and the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he chased after the sons of Israel. The sons of Israel were going out boldly. Then the Egyptians chased after them with all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and they overtook them camping by the sea besides Pihahiroth in front of Baal Zephon. And as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they became very frightened, so the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians,' for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness?" But Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. And as for you, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land. And as for me, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, that they will go in after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord, when I am honored through Pharaoh, through his chariots and his horsemen." And the angel of God, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. And so it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. There was cloud along the darkness, yet it gave light at night. Thus the one did not come near the other at night, all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, so the waters were divided. And the sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Then the Egyptians took up the pursuit, and all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen, went in after them into the midst of the sea. And came about at the morning watch, the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion. And he caused their chariot wheels to swerve, made them drive with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the waters may come back over the Egyptians, over the chariots and their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal state at daybreak, while the Egyptians were fleeing right into it. Then the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, even Pharaoh's entire army that had gone into the sea after them. Not even one of them remained. But the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. And when Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Amen. Okay, so God leads, we haven't done Exodus 13 in such a long time. Let's do a backtrack. So God leads them through, they go through the Passover, and then he leads them through in this place, and now they tell the sons here to go out, and He tells them to turn back and camp before Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. And so if you look at this journey, they're going down from Egypt, and they're moving down, and they're getting to the Sea of Reeds, and God, for some particular reason, actually tells them to make a turn. And they should be kind of going straight, and they could wander around, but instead, they make a turn, and almost as if they're actually going backwards. And so now, the people of Israel have now faced their back against the Promised Land, which is kind of very peculiar. I think this, in some ways, goes to the faith of Moses. And even though it kind of didn't make sense, because, I mean, think about this. If you're on your way, you leave church here, and you're going to go to Causeway Bay, you don't start off by turning towards Shengwan. It's not really the way you ought to go. And then kind of going up the road a little bit. You know, if you're going to Causeway Bay, you're going to make from outside the building, you're going to make a left turn and walk towards Causeway Bay. But for whatever reason here, God has him switch and turn. And so now they're actually facing and walking along the bank of the sea. But God's got a plan. And the plan, if you don't understand his purpose, you won't understand his directives. Okay? That's a very, very important line right there. If you just caught what I just said, you will save so much energy and so much time in your life. If you understand God's purposes, you will understand God's directives. If you don't understand God's purposes, you will not understand God's directives. Sometimes God's purposes are so big, he tells you to go left when it seems logical to go right. But see, you have to follow along in God's purposes. What did God want to do? What was his purpose in causing these people to go a certain way? He didn't want the Egyptians he didn't want the Israelites to ever fear the Egyptians again. They didn't have to go through the Promised Land and go through the desert fearing that the Egyptians at any time could come and take them back into slavery, create war or whatnot. And so God wanted to make sure that the Egyptians, that they would never have a place of power ever again in the life of the Israelites. Well, that's pretty amazing to begin with. Number two, you can tell that when they're talking through this, that these guys are already starting to complain. I mean, God said, I'm going to set you free. They were set free. God said, I'm going to set you free, and you're going to take everything with you. They did that, and now it's their first test, basically. Their first time that they get to either thank God or they get to start complaining. And unfortunately, they started complaining. They said, oh, what are we doing here? We should have just stayed in Egypt. If we were in Egypt, we would have still been alive. We should have kept serving them. We wouldn't have died. We wouldn't have died in the wilderness, you know, and so on and so forth. So they're moving along. They take a turn. And so they're now we're walking along the bank. And next thing you know, they come to this place. And they see the horsemen. And you got to understand, this is a huge army. It says here in the verse 7, he took 600, and he says, select chariots. These select chariots, these were his warriors. And so there was usually in this chariot, one driver and two warriors were stationed behind the driver. And so these guys were ready for war. These were like the Navy SEALs. These were their elite task force. So he's got 600 of them, and then all the other chariots. So then you had the chariots where there was a driver and then one warrior. And then some, you had the single chariots where they would basically tie the rope around their waist, and they would ride and they would fight at the same time. And so you're talking about a huge army that has been released now. So 600 of his select, driver, two warriors, and then all the other warriors and all the other chariots, and they're going forward. And so the people see them, and because their heart is still in Egypt, that they've still not trusted the Lord, even though the Lord was, remember, going before them with a pillar and a fire by night and pillar of cloud by day. And so these guys are like, oh, man, we're going to die. Are there no graves in Egypt? That's why we're going to have graves in the wilderness. And you see the condition of the people, and then you realize, oh, no wonder God made them turn. God wanted to show them something. He wanted to show them that he was the power on high. And so He comes by the place, and you know, Moses does this great speech. You guys be quiet, because you're going to see the salvation of the Lord. And if you've seen Ten Commandments, you know, Charlton Heston does this great scene where he goes up and you shall see the salvation, you know, with your eyes and on a walnut. And then the Lord, this is key, look at verse 14. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Okay? In other words, quit complaining. You know what's going to take you away from the salvation of the Lord is your attitude. Quit complaining. Just shut up. Right? It reminds me of Psalm 46:10. Cease striving and know that I'm God. The literal definition is relax, be still, let go, and just know that He is God. And so he comes up and he does this, and look what happens. This is really interesting. He says, I will harden the heart. So Moses, the Lord says to Moses, and he gives his whole speech. Verse 19, check this out. The angel of God who had been going before the camp of Israel. So can you imagine? They're moving along. It's the angel that's kind of leading this whole entourage, you know, speaking to Moses. Angel of the Lord, and it's depicted in the cloud. The angel is leading Israel. And then what the angel does, he goes back now, and he goes in between the army of the Egyptians and the Israelites. This is what I mean when God fights for you, okay? And so if the angel actually moves course, he stops leading them. They're still on their way, and he goes backwards, and the angel gets in between calamity and his people. Isn't that great? That's what God does. God gets in between harm. God is the one that gets in between trouble. God's the one that gets in between pain. God himself, the angel comes and he separates the enemy from the people. And he gets right in between. And watch what he does. This is so interesting. God creates, and you can see, this is in some ways, the two sides of God, okay? One side, darkness. So the angel in this cloud comes in between the chariots and then the Israelites. On one side of the angel, darkness. Darkness represented wrath. Okay, all throughout the scriptures, darkness represents wrath, judgment. And on one side, the Egyptians see darkness. And the other side, because this is happening at night, and the other side, the same cloud is providing light. And we know light is the word for salvation. It's the symbol of salvation throughout the scriptures. And so what an incredible passage of here. In this cloud, in the presence of God, you have darkness, you have judgment and wrath against the enemies of God. And the same cloud, the same kabod, now you have light that leads the Israelites in the midst of the night. What a beautiful picture of what God does. God gets in between you and judgment. Isn't that this really an analogy of salvation? Remember later on when they would, I just got off the flight. So when they cut the sacrifice. And remember, and the priests walk right in the middle of the sacrifice. And that was a sign of the lamb. The lamb comes in between sin, wrath, and judgment. And the other side of that is salvation. And so literally, God goes right in the middle. I really love this picture. It really so encourages me. It so comforts me to know that God gets right in the middle of my business. God gets right in the middle of my circumstances. And what does God do? God gets in the middle of it, and he protects me from judgment, from wrath, from condemnation. Right? This cloud comes, the same presence, and he gets right in the middle of things. I love that picture. I mean, that really stokes me, man. It's just amazing to recognize that the Lord, wow, he's so amazing, right? You know, when it could be difficulty, God gets right in the middle on my behalf. And he separates judgment. He separates the pain and the loss. And he stands right in the middle between me and the enemies. And so that's what he does. And then Moses stretched out his hand. And you know what happens. He goes out and the people cross the ocean on dry land. The wind comes, amazing thing. And then the Egyptians now actually are caught in the middle, and the wind, and it was important that the Israelites need to see the power of God. And so when he raises up his staff, the water goes up, and then when he brings his staff down, it collapses on the Israelites, or I'm sorry, on the Egyptians. And what ended up happening is they literally come on the seashore, but they're all dead, all the chariots, and they no longer will harass, again, the Israelites. Now, there are some liberal scholars, some atheists have said this was not really a miracle, that actually the Sea of Reeds during a specific season, that it's very low tide. And so they didn't really cross the sea in that way. It was, you know how people always try to, disregard or try to disprove the miracles of the Bible. And so scholars would say, no, that's it was very low tide. And so that's how the Israelites cross. You know, and there was a really famous theologian that responded, and he said, praise God. He says, yeah, that's even a greater miracle, because that means all the Egyptian, the horses drowned on like 3 inches of water, right? And so it's like win or lose. I mean, you can't win in this one, right? It's either this was a miracle on one side or it's a miracle on the other side. Obviously, we believe in the biblical account that God raised the water and then had it collapse. You know, this whole, there was this liberal scholar that talked about Jesus actually didn't multiply the bread and the fish. One of the responses was that when the little boy came and gave his food, it stirred all the other selfish people to also give their food as well. Okay, sure, but there's so much food left over. I mean, it's just kind of ridiculous, you know, to see all this, you know, all these things happen. But you'll always have some kind of rebuttal to the miracles of God, because it's important. The miracles of God, signs and wonders. So all these happening to them, the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians. You know, all these things, they're all dying. And then at 31, this is it. And when Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, revered him, and they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. This is what signs and wonders do. Signs and wonders bring proof and authenticity and authentication of the power of God. All throughout, signs and wonders through the scriptures. Jesus came and he performed signs and wonders, and John the Baptist said, you know, are you the one we're looking for? And what did Jesus say? Well, go back and tell them. Report. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. He's saying that these are signs that are happening. This proves that he is the Messiah. And he tells John and the disciples of John to tell John, hey, look at what's happening here. These are the signs by which it's coming about. And we see the purpose of this. And so God orchestrates, and this whole thing to show Israel, again, that the Egyptians will never bother them ever again. They don't ever have to fear them. And they can trust God in his power. And they can trust in the leadership of Moses. Now, they're going to keep complaining, which is kind of bad news. And we'll get into that a little bit later on. But we see in this beautiful beginning of the wonder and the work of God. Now, remember, they had already experienced 10 incredible miracles, right? In Egypt, the 10 plagues, and now they experience another one, and they will continue to on and on. So let's close our eyes. I love that picture. Jesus gets in between harm and you. He is the scapegoat, the sacrifice. And all we gotta do is quit complaining. He says, God will fight for us. All you have to do is be silent. Just trust Him. The angel Lord gets right in between. And whatever is going on in your life right now, let the angel Lord get right in between. Let that cloud, that light, that salvation. And sometimes you won't understand God's directives, but understand His purpose. Because if you get His purpose, it'll be easy to follow His directives, even though it may not make sense. But you don't get His purpose, you don't understand it, you'll never understand and obey His directives. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let Him just remind you that the angel Lord gets in between you and harm's way. He covers us. We are hidden now in Christ. Let's just meditate on that as we sing. Let's pray this morning. Huh? Let's thank God for getting in the middle. Let's thank God for protecting us from harm's way. And just get that picture. It's that cloud. The angel Lord moves. He separates destruction, right, from us. And if you're going through a situation right now, maybe you're complaining about something like the Israelites are, you're seeing the enemy approaching you, gaining ground on you, and now you start complaining, listen to the Lord. The Lord will fight for you. You just need to be silent. Let's be quiet. Let's stop complaining. And let's start trusting. And watch God get right in the middle and provide. Huh? Let's pray together. Let's pray for our community. Let's ask God to get in the middle between their sickness, right, and their bodies and their lives. And let's pray for our friends. They're going through all kinds of different cancer, going through chemo, radiation therapy, and people are recovering. Let's lift up. Pray for our community that is ill but also needs to meet Jesus. Let's pray that they would accept Christ in their life and God would bring people into their life to minister and share the gospel with them. Let's pray for those that are ill. Let's ask for God's healing. You can take me off the list. Pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision in their life. with our mission focus, and let's pray for Hong Kong today. Let's ask God to bless our government and pray against the wealth gap. Let's pray for God to bring revival to the city. Pray that Hong Kong would take its place in being the light to China. Pray for all the churches here. Pray for YWAM, SSI, Shanty, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters. Pray for Face to Face, Feed the Hungry, CSW, and the Korean Church. And let's pray for all the ministers, our friends that are ministering here in Hong Kong. Let's ask for God's hand, provision, His power, His anointing, and the Lord would just move on this place that we call home. Let's pray. Let's lift up our missions committee. I pray for you, Jamie, John, Sarah, Janella, and myself. Let's pray that God would use us to open up our hearts and our minds and our connections to really lead SP in our missional endeavors. Let's pray for local outreach. Let's pray for our community center that's being used well there. Let's pray for Agape, the English and Computer, the Homeless Ministry, SP Lights, the Freedom Ministry, Bridge, and Mother's Choice. Let's pray that God would continue to bless our outreach teams, our leaders, our volunteers. They wouldn't get too overly burdened, but they would really be able to pray that to the Lord and just lay it at His feet. Let's pray for anointing when they go out to minister, and that God will continue to raise up more volunteers to lead, and that everyone will be involved in outreach in some way. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our activities tonight. Let's pray for IP, SPU, McCain, and Discovery Bay House Church. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to meet with us tonight in a powerful way, that all the different meetings that God would just cover, and He would just come and just minister powerfully. I know this is not on the list, but can we pray for our Leadership Institute this summer, our three classes that we'll be teaching? Pray for myself and Larry and Matthew Pine as we start working and on our materials, and make sure that we really bring a really quality class that really benefits people. Let's just pray for our institute this summer. We are so encouraged today, God. We're so blessed to know, Lord God, that You stand in between us, God, in between our judgment, Lord, as you gave your son to us, or in between the pain that as you redeem all things unto yourself, Lord, you literally stand right in between us in harm's way. And so we thank you for that, God. Lord, forgive us for our complaining, God, as we complain like the Israelites do. Help us, God, to understand your purpose so that we can follow your directives, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for such richness in this text this morning. We bless you. Watch over us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow as we go through Exodus 15.